Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. And again, and Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this
place. Omnipotent Father, of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, you're welcome, Lord. We want you to be welcome, not just in this building, but in our hearts, Lord. In our daily lives, as we go, as we wake up in the morning, we want you to feel welcome. Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. You're beautiful to us. You're wonderful. Almighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, you're our counselor. You are everything to us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity today, Lord. We commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. God bless you. It's good to be here today. And I just came back. I was in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. Never in Savannah before. Have you been to Savannah, Brother Diggs? Nice town there. And all week I was around people that I work with in the carnal work but I feel at home here. I was an alien there, but I feel at home here because wherever the Spirit of God is, that's our home. Amen. You know, your home is not your natural house. Your family is not your natural family. The real home and the real family is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we won't have satisfaction outside of that anywhere we go. Doesn't matter how hard you try. Just think of it. People try so hard to fit in this world, even Christian people. We're not going to fit in here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And, you know, I was thinking there last night, they were giving out all these awards, and people make such a big deal out of human awards that mean nothing. You know, who cares about the opinion of some other man? We care about the opinion of God. See, that's what we really want, is we want to hear our God say, "Well done, enter into the joys of the Lord." That's the goal. Amen. So we want him welcome here. I saw a note, Dave, did you put that about Brother Ralph? Did they announce that? Or So Brother Ralph would come here several times, and a nice brother, and passed away. That's surprising. He was a young man. 61, jog and had a heart attack. So, but we loved Brother Ralph. You know, he was a brother to us. He loved the Lord, and it was obvious in his life he loved the Lord. And he was his own man, Brother Ralph. You know, and I kind of like that about people, when they don't follow anybody, but they follow their own convictions. You got to have convictions. If you're just pushed around to and fro, any wind that comes along, well, that's not. You need a backbone to be a Christian, right? And so I appreciate it, Brother Ralph, and I know he worked in the ministry, and I know he understood the end time message and was feeding on that regularly. He told me he was going through the tapes just one by one, right through. So many years in a row, you know, and that, you know, somebody feeding on that message, there's something pulling on them. There's a you know, that voice goes out, and you know, there's voices going through this room right now, but we can't hear them because we don't have that crystal to pick it up. And there's a voice that went out to this generation, and there's something within people that say, "Hey, I'm part of that." The eagle responding to the eagle call. So we're privileged today to have our brother Diggs coming all the way up from South Carolina, right? And so I know he's been here before. If you haven't heard him minister before, I know it'll be good, because I believe it won't be him. See, I believe that the gift is to get out of the way. And there's many different ministries and there's many different approaches. But see, it's all one body in Christ. And so our job today, my job, your job, is to look beyond the flesh of me and Brother Diggs and to hear something from Almighty God. This is God's provided way. He could have used the trees. He could have used the clouds and the stars, but he used man, and we're imperfect man, but the perfect God comes down and tabernacles in us. And God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Right? And so people that think preaching is foolish, it's that the Bible says, perish. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. So God chose the Bible, and he that's his word, and we read the Bible, and God speaks to us. And you could say, well, I want him to do it different than that. Well, it's not your program, it's his program. Amen. If you want to get in his program, you read his book. And then we come here and we worship him in the spirit of Christ, and then we pray, and Brother Diggs is going to come here in just a moment, and I want us to pull on the gift. Amen. See, it does not matter about anything but your faith. Your faith, you can say, well, he had a text and he prepared something. That has nothing to do with it. I can't tell you how many times I went to churches. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care what his text is. I have a need, God. And my faith, I could visibly see my faith moving the preacher off of his text. He was out some land. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know why he was there. But it was my faith put him there. And he answered my need. See, faith moves God. Faith moves God. And your faith today, you can say, God, I have a need. I need you to speak to me. See, and then here's the thing. When God does, don't throw it away and say, that was Brother Diggs. That was God. That's the word of God to you when he comes down and speaks right to your need. Say, wow, that was a Brother Diggs preached. He goes, no, God came today. Thank you, Lord. And you receive it as from God, and you praise God, and you move on. We preachers, we know we're nothing. We're nothing. More than nothing. But he's everything to us. So let's all stand. I like that song, Only Believe. Because I do believe still all things are possible if we only believe. Amen. Yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Take your liberty, brother. God bless you. All right.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, believe. Oh, believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts and pray again. Amen. If you have a need this morning, you can acknowledge it to the Lord by an uplifted hand. For God knows everything. Amen. And you're not lifting your hands unto me, but you're lifting your hands unto God. Let God see your need. Lord God, Father, we lift our hands to you, Lord, and Let that be the first act of faith in our service unto you, Lord, that we defy the law of gravity, Lord, to express that we believe in you, Lord. And we believe, Lord, that if we pray the prayer of faith, Lord, according to your will, that you will answer our need, Lord. And, Lord, we pray, Father, that our need, Lord, is according to your perfect will. So, Lord, we ask, Father, you bless each and every heart, each and every person, Lord. And, Father, even those who may not know you, Lord, in the full magnitude of who you are. But we pray that the revealing of your word would be here to touch those hearts, Lord, that are troubled, Lord, and different ones who may need encouragement. Lord, we know that you're an ever-present rock in a time of trouble, Lord. Pray that you continue to bless the pastor, Lord, and his family and his church family, Lord, and all those who are here to hear the word today. And Father, we'll give you all the honor and glory, Lord. We just ask, Father, that your forgiving power will be among us today to forgive us for any thoughts that's not like your thoughts, any ways that's not like your ways, Father, and keep us under your atoning blood. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. At church, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. There's no place I'd rather be. And God is so mindful. You know, it's snowing back home. You know, I come all the way up here and escape the snow. Isn't God good? Amen. But we know it's not going to last. So, amen. We just appreciate God and his mercy. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers 13. Praise the Lord. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Numbers 13. Let's start reading that verse 26. Numbers 13 and 26. The Bible says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation and the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You notice they hadn't even fought yet, and they're already defeated in their minds. He says, But the men, and they brought up in verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land the which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in, and so were in their sight." Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, the third chapter.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Genesis 3 and 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God will know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Now the Bible says in verse 6, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. The word of God is so powerful. Amen. And you know, I just want to quote this scripture today, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And you know, my subject today is the tactics of reasoning. Amen. The tactics of reasoning. Amen. I think most of us, we understand what reasoning is, but how often do we realize that we're reasoning when it comes to God's word? Now, God's word is not to be reasoned with. And I know some of you may be thinking that the Bible says, come, let us reason together. But what that scripture is really saying, come, let's see what God says about it. Amen. Not let's take away from it, not let's have a new idea, but let's see what God says about it. Amen. And let that be the conclusion. Amen. But you know, the scriptures we've read, especially the book of Genesis, dealing right here with the serpent and the woman. This scripture, this particular action is the reason why we have so many churches today. The power of reasoning, that so many people hear what God says, they read what God says in his word, but reasoning deals with a more appealing way. Hallelujah. And you know that the serpent came to bring to Eve a more appealing way. And no doubt, that way seemed to be more appealing, but that way produced death. Amen. And that's what I want you to realize. Before you reason against God's word, think about what's going to come after you reason. Amen. And you know, as we look right here in the book of Numbers, God promised the children of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, is God not the same? And the question today is, can God tell a lie? Somebody talk to me now. No. Amen. The God we serve cannot tell a lie. It's not in his vocabulary. It's not in his nature. There's one thing that God cannot do, and God cannot tell a lie. So whatever God said, it behooves us to believe that it's going to come to pass. If God said it, we might as well anchor our souls in it, anchor our hearts and our spirits in it to say that it's going to come to pass. And if we read our Bible, we can see that so many things are taking place right now according to the end time scriptures, and it's happening. Amen. Just like God said in his word, he said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our day. That men that they're eating and drinking and getting marriage and divorcing and all these things, just like it was in Noah's day at the time when a message was being proclaimed. Amen. So they heard Noah's message, it's going to rain, and they reasoned with it. They ignored what God was saying, and they, no doubt, some probably say, well, I got time, or Noah's crazy. They used their own intellect to reason against the message that was being preached. Simply because you don't understand something, that doesn't mean it's not true. Hallelujah. I don't understand, hallelujah, how a woman gets pregnant and carry a baby for 9 months, but if her stomach starts to stick out, that's the proof of it. Hallelujah. And that means that in 9 months, she's going to have that baby according to nature. Hallelujah. So, you know, we may not understand a lot of things, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Hallelujah. God says, by his stripes you heal. I wasn't there physically, but spiritually I was there.
So it behooves me to believe that if God's word says I'm healed, I'm healed. If God's word says I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And we shouldn't want to reason or change that, but just believe it. Hallelujah. What does reasoning do? Reasoning makes anything weaker. If you come to church and you have a spirit of reasoning, you say, well, Brother Diggs is preaching, but he's too loud. Hallelujah. He moves too much and he streams and his voice is a certain way. See, all those thoughts of reasoning will stop you from catching the power behind the words of this loud voice. See, reasoning will destroy the truth of whatever you're supposed to be receiving. Hallelujah. Can you think about it? Can you think about this? If you go to work and the boss man says, I want to give you a raise. And you start to thinking, do I deserve a raise? Am I worthy of a raise? Do I really want this raise? See, some things we don't reason with. We just accept it. Even if you believe you're not worthy, you ain't going to go to the boss and say, I don't want that raise. You're going to smile and you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the things that are challenging to our lives, the things that are challenging to our spirits and our flesh, we find easy to reason with. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we worship God, Satan comes with tactics of reasoning. Oh, brother, sister, you may have worked last night and Satan will come and say, you tired. What does that have to do with the word of God? Amen. Does that change the effects of it? No. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's do away with our reasoning. Amen. Amen. Satan, the devil is so shrewd. Amen. And he's so subtle. Hallelujah. He'll come and whisper right in your ear and take the power of the word away. Amen. If you accept his thoughts. Hallelujah. You know, when we look right here in the Bible, he told them, he said, hey, I got a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And I've already given it to you. Amen. Think about that, church. How many promises that we have in the Bible that God has said, I've already given it to you. But what the enemy will come and do, he'll try to reason us away from that and make us look at circumstances. Circumstances does not hinder God. Hallelujah. God is not a God of circumstances. He's an unconditional God. Hallelujah. He can look right at your sin and say, oh, I've already promised it to him. Hallelujah. Hey, think about that, church. I've done wrong. You've done wrong. But God's promised us eternal life. See, church, God cannot even reason with the mistakes you've made. Hallelujah. The mistakes I've made, the mistakes you've made, still couldn't change God's promise in your life. Hallelujah. The evil thoughts and different things we may have from time to time, it still doesn't change God's promise concerning our lives. Hallelujah. And you know, if we could just have that kind of attitude, when we approach the enemy that, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what you say, Satan, God promise me. Hallelujah. He said the Holy Ghost is unto your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. And whosoever is afar off, that's a promise. So we are to take God at his word. Amen. And stop letting, hallelujah, evil thoughts and defeat, hallelujah, overcome us. Think about it, church. Even today, hallelujah, we can say in ourselves that most of us, there's certain things we reason about. Hallelujah. We do it every day. Some of you reason what time you want to get to work. I don't know why I'm talking about the job so much today. Hallelujah. You know, and you know, when I was coming up here, I was thinking, I was saying, you know, first of all, let's hit reasoning. Let's look at the definition of reasoning. But I want to look at it as in the pretense of a verb. Hallelujah. Because reasoning is an action. Hallelujah. Reasoning is something that you produce. Amen. Reasoning, in the form of a verb, to think or argue in a logical manner. Hallelujah. Think about that, church. God says something in his word, and if you reason with it, you think or you argue with God. My, help me, Lord. I don't want to be reading your word, and I'm reasoning, which means I'm arguing with God. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us think you're going to win? Anybody ever been in an argument? Hallelujah. And the reason why you argue is because you want to prove your point. Or because you think somebody else is wrong. So you argue your point because you believe you are right. That ain't going to work with God. Hallelujah. That ain't going to work with God. You can argue your point. You can say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe this way and that way. God is all knowing. Hallelujah. Oh my. Think about that, church. When we reason, we argue with God. And keep in mind, I'm speaking of natural things, but the objective is for you to see it in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. To think or argue in a logical manner. Hallelujah. See, what I love about God, hallelujah, the thing that God does, it sometimes it seems ridiculous, hallelujah. It doesn't seem logical, amen. That's the thing about God. Because the Bible says, Brother John just said it, that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save men. Hallelujah. And you know, it looks like we got too much preaching and this preacher and that preacher, but that was God's thoughts concerning the manner of your salvation. You know, God told one prophet for a sign. He said, I want you to walk the earth naked. Now, everybody else was saying that ain't logical. Everybody else was probably arguing with him. I believe it was Isaiah or Ezekiel, one of the two. And you know, that prophet, hallelujah, he didn't reason with God, but he said, okay, Lord, naked you want me to be, naked I shall go. And he walked the earth naked for a sign. And everybody else, even probably the church people, looked at him and said, man, you crazy. That's not logical. But he said, the Lord told me to do this. And this is a sign to all you unbelievers. Hallelujah. They couldn't even receive the sign because it didn't seem logical. Your reasoning will make the things of God not seem logical. But we're not, when we're thinking about God, we're not always dealing in a natural realm. But we're dealing with supernatural things to a supernatural people. And you know, for the other prophet, I think it was Ezekiel. He told him, lay on your side for a certain amount of time. And he said, he came back, he said, turn on the other side. And you know, the people probably looked at him and said, man, you crazy. That just don't make no sense. And they begin to reason in their minds. They begin to reason against the point that God was making. Hallelujah. See, everything we do may not seem logical. Hallelujah. But is it God's will? That's what we want. There's some things about me that may not seem logical to you, but is it God's will for my life? That's what we got to find out, church. He says, to form conclusions, God Almighty. And that's a southern word. Either I say God Almighty or great day. You know, I know y'all northerners don't know what that means. But it's like, wow. That's what that means when I say that. It's like, wow. But you know, to form your own conclusion. Think about that, church. God speaks a word in your life. And it's thus said the Lord. But then reasoning brings you to another conclusion. Reasoning pulls you away from what God said to live it the way you think it ought to be lived. Let's cast down reasoning. And every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Because what does reasoning do? It takes the power of God out of your life. Oh my. It's like mustard seed. Mustard seed can't mix with anything. Hallelujah. And we're supposed to have mustard seed faith. So our faith is not supposed to mix with anything but the word of God. Hallelujah. listen, to form conclusions, judgments, or inference from facts or premises. Think about this. You form a conclusion, your own conclusion, based upon the facts that was already given. So you take away from the facts and you say, nah, I just ain't going to do it like that. God told Eve, he told Adam, the day you touch of it, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And to them, it didn't seem logical, huh? It didn't seem logical that God would want to keep that away from them. So they reasoned in their mind. The prophet of God said that when Eve was sitting there talking to the serpent, hallelujah. And you know, words can cause you to reason. Certain things that you hear, and you know, the more you hear it, the more you accept it. Even with wrong, amen. You know, you hear somebody saying something wrong or doing something wrong, and if you lose your will to fight against it, then you live with reasoning. Listen, the prophet says that, hallelujah, when he gave Eve, hallelujah, to arm herself was the word of God. All of us are armed by the word of God. See, Satan cannot take away that word. He says, if you pay your tithes, you're what? About three of y'all know that scripture? Man, we got to preach a little bit harder this morning then. Hallelujah. He said to pay your tithing and offering means you're blessed. That's the Bible. Go read Malachi. Amen. That you're blessed. And if you don't, you're cursed. Now tell me who's going to change that. Now you can reason with that all you want. Well, Lord, you know my light bill due. You think God don't know that? Well, Lord, I need this for the house, that for the house. You think God don't know that? And the prophet of God say, when we reason, listen to this. He says, oh my. He said she broke her armor down by listening to the devil. How'd she do it? By opening her mind to reasoning. And that's how Satan gets us a lot of times. Hallelujah. We listen to him and it's only reasoning because he can't create. Now let me expose the enemy. Let's expose the devil, your adversary. Do you realize God created his own enemy? Hallelujah. Wouldn't you love to go in a battle with somebody you created? Hallelujah. Wouldn't you love to go in a battle, hallelujah, with a weapon you created and the other guy has the weapon you created? Oh my. You know what that means? You've already won. Because you knows what to break it and you knows what to make it. Hallelujah. You knows its strength and you knows its weakness. That's what it's like with God dealing with the enemy. God knows Satan's weaknesses. He knows Satan's strengths. Hallelujah. Why? Because God created him. Glory to God. Time for us to stop listening to the enemy. Because all he's trying to do is take the power of God out of your life. And you look, God, God has a sense of humor. He tells Satan, hey, I want you to challenge me. Challenge me now. Give me everything you got. But in God's mind, he's saying, I know it's not going to be enough. Look at that. He'll go into a battle with Satan knowing he's already defeated. Hallelujah. And the thing I love about God, he knows that Satan won't quit. So God keeps getting more and more glory out of the battle. Hallelujah. Church, do you realize that every trial, every tribulation, everything you go to is making you stronger? Hallelujah. Because the Bible talks about, hallelujah, that we have to be proven, amen. We have to be tested as sons and daughters of God. The scripture says that all things work out for the good. To those who are called according to his purpose, those who love God, amen. So every trial I go through is working out for my good. Because that can't change. That's God's word. You say your car broke down. Praise the Lord. You say, oh Lord, my bank account low. Praise the Lord. It's working out for my good. See, church, when we start looking at the word without any reasoning, we'll walk in a whole nother realm. Hallelujah. That's what the prophets of old did. Amen. They walked in a realm of victory because all they could see was what God told them. All they could see was what God said. Hallelujah. They didn't listen to those voices of reasoning, those voices of logic, those voices of conclusion and judgment. They listened to, thus said the Lord. And we walk like that, we'll walk like true sons and daughters of God. But we let Satan come and say, thou shalt not surely die. One word changed their lives forever. Hallelujah. If you open your mind up to reasoning, hallelujah, you're opening up your life to defeat. And you look, God told the children of Israel, he says, hey, I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey, and I want y'all to go. Go possess the land. He didn't tell them there were giants in the land. He didn't tell them the inhabitants was in the mountains and by the sea. But one thing he did tell them, that the land was flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And I've already given it to you. Think about that, church. The master, the savior, the creator of all gave them a promised land, and all they had to do was go possess it. See, what I love about God, once God gives you his word, he can't take it back. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not an Indian giver. And another thing I love about God, there's nothing you can go through, hallelujah, that'll catch him by surprise. He say, man, I missed that trial. Don't happen. You think the devil's doing stuff and God says, he got one up on me. No. You see, we're laughing because that seems so ridiculous. Because we believe in a mighty God. Amen. See, there's nothing the enemy can do that says, God says, I made a boo-boo. No. There's nothing about you God's not aware of. There's no trial you're going to go through that God hasn't already made provisions for. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Woo! Glory to God. And it makes me excited to know that I'm on the side of a battle that can't lose. Can you imagine, hallelujah, I know we're in Philly, can you imagine the Eagles going into a game and their quarterback, I believe it was Wentz or whoever it is, the quarterback, hallelujah, before he get out in the game, he huddle everybody up in the huddle. First play, and he said, y'all know what, guys, we're going to lose today. If somebody's a believer on that team, they'll go to the coach and tell him, say, we need another quarterback. Because this guy can't lead the team. His mind ain't in the right place. He's looking at the opposition. He's not looking at what we can do. Hallelujah. And you in your position in Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You in your position are unstoppable.
Amen.
If you can find your place. Hallelujah. Glory. I feel religious, church. And I know some of y'all feel my energy, amen. Hallelujah. But this kind of energy can't be housed. It's supposed to be loosed. Yes. Hallelujah. And you know the thing of it is, if you fear my energy, is because you got the same energy. The only difference is I'm better at expressing mine than you are. Hallelujah. But can you imagine this guy, he gets in the huddle, he says, hey, you know, it's a big team over there, you know. Cowboys. They got stars on their hats. Star represents messenger. So they must be going, I know we Eagles, but they got a message for us. And they thinking about all that stuff and thinking about all that and thinking about all that. And he gets out the door, the first touchdown, the first thing he's throwing, in his mind, he's already defeated. I wonder how many of us come to church like that. When we leave our house, we're defeated. When we get in church, we're defeated. When we leave church, we're defeated. Hallelujah. That's not God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. He says in his Bible that we are more than conquerors. Woo! And it also says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. That's what the word says. We shouldn't reason that away. See, what I've started doing more often is speaking the truth in my life. Speak the truth in your life. Hallelujah. Speak over your soul in truth. Hallelujah. And if God says it in his word, the devil can't change it. And you will never be able to let it move in your life if you don't speak it. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us live by words, but let's live by the word of God. And you look what the Lord did. The Lord, hallelujah. Back again, you just take that, you take that man who's supposed to be leading the team, and he gets the whole team together and say, guys, we're going to lose today. Who's going to have confidence in him? What if I get up here and I'm preaching the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, and I never say nothing about God? We'll walk out of here defeated. We'll walk out of here thinking more about the devil than we are about God. Hallelujah. That's why when I preach about him, I like to expose him for the weakling that he is. Hallelujah. I like to expose the enemy for who he is. And he's no more than just a perverter. Church, he don't even have his own vocabulary. My Jesus Christ. Do y'all realize that? Satan doesn't have his own vocabulary because he can't create. Every word created, God already spoke it. So Satan comes and he twists it. Yes. Hallelujah. There's nothing he has of his own. He takes everything God has created and twisted it. He couldn't create his own life, so he got it to God's life and twisted it. Amen. He's nothing more than just a perverter. Amen. Hallelujah. Which is a liar. So any voice of reasoning speaking to you is a voice of lies. And you know what he likes to say? You'll never be a good Christian. Liar! You'll never be a good husband, good wife. Liar! Don't receive those thoughts. Because Satan is powerless unless you receive his thoughts. And once he gets in your mind, then he can't control you. You know where he gets that from? God. He wants to be just like God. And if the word ever finds a resting place, hallelujah, the word ever finds a resting place, not just in your mind, but in your heart, then you're unstoppable. Hallelujah. That's why people go to the hospital. I know this lady, and she's going to be with the Lord now, Sister Annie. She was 90 something years old, and she was in the hospital. And you would think, being that age, that things happen. Conditions of the body just happens. See, I don't think like that. Amen. I believe when I leave out of here, I'm going to leave because it's God's time. Amen. Not because I got sick or because I was defeated or whatever the doctors say. I'm going to leave because it's God's time. Amen. That's hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And Sister Annie was in the hospital, and doctor came in, and he started talking about cancer, and he's like, oh, I know it's hard for you to believe in this and that, and he's just pumping it up and pumping it up, trying to get her to receive it. Because at first, they kept coming, and she was like, no, I'm good. 90 years old, hallelujah. It's like, well, she's like, I feel some pains in my stomach, and they come, and the doctors say, we can't find nothing. That means it's a devil trying to get in. Amen. And he can't, hallelujah, find residency unless you invite him in. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. So she's in the hospital, they doing all these tests, and they're like, well, man, we haven't found anything. And she's like, yeah, my stomach hurt a little bit, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So this nurse comes in, and she's like, oh, I know this is very hard, too. You know, you may have cancer. She looks at the nurse, and she says, there's one thing that'll never manifest in my body, and it's cancer. Church, she looked reasoning right in the face, and she cast it down. Amen. Hallelujah. She looked at, she heard the words of reasoning, hallelujah, and cast it down. Amen. Then the doctor comes back. Hallelujah. Doctor comes in, she's 90 years old, but she believed this word. Amen. Doctor comes in and he says, yes, yes, mother, I know that this could be very hard for you. And cancer, and at your age, you know, sometimes these things happen. And he's holding her hands. Now he's moving through the rim of affection. And that's what reasoning does. Reasoning deals with your affections too, hallelujah, to get you to doubt. That's what happened to Lot's wife. Amen. Hallelujah. The tactics of reasoning. God told them, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah and don't look back. But as she was marching out, the spirit of reasoning, the tactics of reasoning, her affections, the prophet said she began to think about her grandchildren, hallelujah, and her loved ones that were in Sodom, and that overrode the word that was spoken already, and she turned around, and that reasoning turned into a pillar of salt. Because of her affections. See, don't live by your affections. Amen. Don't live by your natural feelings. But you live by thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And no doubt right now, I feel good. So I'm not saying you're not supposed to be emotional. Amen. Because we know anything without emotion is dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And normally people without emotion are at the people. I'd rather have a wildfire than no fire at all.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Church, we're supposed to be alive.
Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to love serving God.
Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to rejoice in Him. Amen. Church, do you realize? I want to help you out. And I ain't trying to work you up, amen, but I love being this way.
Amen.
This is who I am.
Amen.
How you may feel about me, that don't bother me. But when that word connects with that inner man, woo!
Oh,
yeah. Woo! It just dumb. Begins to move your emotions. That means that there's a connection there. You think about it.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah.
That man never walks up to his wife and say, girl, woo, you get my motor to run it. She never comes in and say, hey, big boy. If there's no flirtation, listen to me good now. If there's no flirtation, if there's nothing about him that makes you smile, there's nothing about her that makes you smile, that means your relationship is dead. And there's things about God that always keep me smiling. Hallelujah. She began to light up. Hallelujah. She began to walk through the house with a little bit more spunk. Woo! Go ahead. In her walk. Hallelujah. And you know, it's like that man's like the rooster over the whole pen. Hallelujah. When he walks around, he sticks that chest out. Well, everybody know that this is his house. And you give that man praise, he might buy you a new car.
Hallelujah.
I know some of y'all brothers say, Brother Diggs, don't put me under pressure like that. Hallelujah. But if we are God's bride, hallelujah, we should resemble his actions. Amen. Hallelujah. And God gives us whatever we ask for. Oh, my. But church, I ain't going to be too much longer. Y'all know I'm about to close.
Praise the Lord.
But when you look, church, and you think about the tactics of reasoning, hallelujah, and you look how Satan does, he'll come, and he may get you at your weakest point. Like he did the prophet, he said, look, you want to serve a God that let your wife die? Let your child die. Let your father die right in your arms. Let your brother die. And you're going to serve a God like that? He said everything the devil was saying was true. All those people had died out of his life. He said, but something way down, way down from the gable end of his soul. Hallelujah. Your soul has a voice. That's how we ought to be, church. We ought to push away. And not my circumstances, not my job, not my children, none of the stuff that are connected to me naturally. But here.
Come. Lord, amen.
But before I close, and I might say that four more times. But church, you look at it. You look at the voice of reasoning. God says, I've given you a land flowing of milk and honey. And now he tells Joshua, he says, hey, I want you to go get 12 spies out of each tribe. Now I want you to realize the significance of that. Each tribe, look, they're descendants of God's blessing. Amen. Abraham, hallelujah, Father Abraham, the father of faith. Amen. Didn't God do what he said he was going to do? Why? Because God had to protect his promise. Hallelujah. See, trouble didn't make God reason. Trouble made God show up. Hallelujah. Church, it's not us. Abraham, he left the land. He left the land of promise, and he started sojourning. The next thing you know, a king, a young king, saw his wife. He said, "Man, I got to have her." But God stepped in. Yes. Abraham and Sarah Reuben. They said, "Hey, you know, fear will make you reason." Hallelujah! And here comes Abraham. He's looking at his wife. Church, he missed it. And y'all heard me say this plenty of times. He missed it, church. He's looking at his wife, and he don't feel. Man, they're going to want to take you from me. Hey, they're going to want to kill me because they're going to look at you, and they see how fair you are. Fair means beautiful. He said, you see how beautiful you are. They're going to take you and kill me. They're going to be my sister. Reasoning. Fear made him speak out of turn. And that's what happens all the time. Fear makes us speak out of turn. And the very thing we're afraid of becomes true because we didn't spoke it over ourselves.
Amen.
But look, if he was walking and resting in what God said, he would have looked at Sarah and he would have thought different. He looked at Sarah like, wow. Ooh, man. Girl, you look good. I don't see 90 years old. I see rejuvenation. I see the promise of God's word. I see God has restored your health. He's restored your body. Come on, girl, let's go make this baby. That's what he should have did. Because he was looking at the promise, and because of fear, he couldn't see the promise. He reasoned. Amen. Didn't I God change her body?
Amen.
He changed her owl. You know, hallelujah. When things happen, it happens from the inside out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's people that can live with diseases on the inside, and you may not know it. But when that thing starts maturing, the outside will start being affected then. Amen. So So change always happens inside out. Hallelujah. Real change, that is. So you know, if her outside was looking good, you know her inside was already good. Hallelujah. And what did the young king see? He didn't see some grandma coming down.
Oh, baby, Abraham, let's go down here and get some of the corn of the land.
No, he didn't see that. He saw a young lady with some bounce. Hallelujah. And she was strutting her stuff in a holy way now. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you know, in one scripture says either it was Abraham or it was Isaac, he said that they were sporting his wife. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That means he was showing her off. Mm-hmm. Brother, when was the last time you sported your wife? No, don't answer that. Hallelujah. That you felt so good about what God blessed you with, you said, go ahead, honey. Come on, hold my hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, he was sporting his wife and the king. He didn't see a 90-year-old grandma. He said, whoa, wow, man. Hey, I got to have her. Go get her. And he went down there and got her. And reasoning, just like Abraham thought, they took his wife. Hallelujah. But then God stepped in. And God said, hey, restore that man his wife. Or you're good as a dead man. God had to keep his promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, the children of Israel that were going into the promised land, they were descendants of God keeping his word to Abraham. Amen. But then Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac did the same thing, and God kept his word to Isaac. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Isaac was there when there was no sacrifice. There was an altar. There was wood. Hallelujah. They were descendants of Ahud. My Jesus. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Amen. Jacob, hallelujah. Jacob did so many things wrong. Hallelujah. But his hands was prosperous. Everything he touched prospered. But then he got to a place where he had to deal with himself. Then one night, hallelujah. And he named the place Peniel, which means I've seen God face to face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These people were descendants of a ministry, of a life, of a fatherhood that seen God face to face. Hallelujah. And you got Joseph, hallelujah, who was a type of Christ. Even in his suffering, hallelujah. Remember Joseph had the dreams that their sheep was going to bow down to his sheep. Amen. Nothing could stop that. Not a pit, not jail, not lions, Potiphar's wife. Nothing could stop it. It had to come into play just like God showed it. Amen. And now you got these descendants going into the promised land. Hallelujah. Descendants of the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
That's who we are. Amen. We're descendants of the supernatural.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And you know, church, they went into the promised land. They come back. Hallelujah. First thing, they saw the grapes. The Bible says it was a cluster of grapes. And they were so heavy, it took two of them to carry. Church, this promise wasn't just for one person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they're carrying a promise. And no doubt, how many of you could... Oh, I ain't the only one do this. You know, before you buy grapes, you sample them. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to buy some, but I got to sample it first. Because I don't want the worst thing you have is some sour grapes. Hallelujah. Some of us come to church like a big cluster of sour grapes. When your Christianity is supposed to be sweet. Yeah. You're supposed to be in love with God. Hallelujah. And you know, church, hallelujah, they're carrying those grapes. And then they're on the way back. You know, no doubt they're eating the grapes. Oh, man. Oh, boy, these grapes are good. And they get back and they begin to testify. And they began to tell Moses, hallelujah, they say, look, this is what God promised us. Look, the land is flowing with milk and honey. Look, this is the fruit of the land. Church, the promise, hallelujah, was no longer just a prophecy. It was a reality. And that's where we're at, church. We're living in the reality. Hallelujah. And they got the fruit, and here's the reality in their hands, and they're showing it, and they're eating it, they taste it, and everything. And then here comes some old unbeliever in the church who ain't got no Holy Ghost. Boom. The cities are walled. Giants are in the land. And we look like grasshoppers. You notice when he first started talking negative, the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people.
Amen.
He didn't want to let all that negative get out. Basically, he was saying, shut up. We don't want to hear that. Some of y'all need to steal all that negative talk that runs around in church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Amen.
Caleb stilled the people. He says, God, if the Lord delight in us, he's already given us the land. We're more than able. But then, you know, those unbelievers, they kept talking. Because it was more. It was 10 of them. It was 2. And they kept talking and said, well, we do, you know, giant, the children of Anak are there, the giants are in the land, and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Like giants ain't never got killed before. Somebody talk to me.
Amen. Yeah.
What was wrong with them? They had the history of giants. Oh, my. Church, like giants have never been killed before.
Amen.
My. And now, they're living in their reasoning. They're holding the fruit, but they're living by reason. It's like, but we be grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. You know, when somebody speaks reasoning against the word of God, you need to tell them, I don't see what you see. The Lord says, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And not cursed. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I'm the head and not the tail. Amen. Even in my suffering, there's a blessing got to come out of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, church, in my closing, they reason themselves right out of the promise. They made the journey that much more longer. And they kept talking and talking negative and negative and negative and negative when God had already said, I've given you the land.
Amen.
Now it took them so many more years after that to possess the land.
Amen.
But they possessed it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, there's a story of a woman, hallelujah, who married, she grew up in a church, and she married a young man in the church. And you know, her husband used to work hard. So at nighttime, she'd go out and hang up the clothes, and then the neighbor would come, start talking to her. And you know, as she talked with the neighbor, he was a man. She talked to the neighbor, the conversation started getting good. You know, and she enjoyed the conversation. And next thing you know, she found herself longing to talk to him. The power of reasoning. She's married, but then there's something else drawing her away from that headship. Reasoning. I likes what he say to me. He flatters me. He does, he does. Reasoning. And now she's talking to him. And now it's become a regular thing. And then one night, the conversation got so good that she kissed him. My. Oh, my. You didn't think that she realized she was married? Reasoning hushed all that up. Reasoning covered her vows. Reasoning suppressed her marriage. And now she's kissing another man. And she kept going and kept going. And she fell deeper and deeper for that man. Next thing you know, she told her husband, I want a divorce. She divorced her husband. Now that man was a cheater and she was a cheater. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Unless you get delivered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you, if you smoking dope and drinking, looking, all that stuff, the only thing that can help you is the grace of God.
Amen.
It ain't an AAAA committee, a BB committee, a CC committee. Ain't none of it going to help you. Only thing going to help you is a Jesus committee.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because until that demon is dealt with, it'll stay there and reason with you.
Amen.
And you know, you have some people say, I've been clean for 20 years and they running from it. I can't be around that. I mean, that spirit's still there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, church, she divorced her husband and she married that man. And you know, they had problems. Then she divorced him. Then she started running around with men, running around with everybody. The whole time, still going to church. Still involved in the ministry. Still coming to church faithfully. Not only is she an adulterer, she's a fornicator. Reasoning had buried the laws of God. And she don't even see no wrong in her life. She's still coming to church like everything is good. People do that every Sunday. They bury all their wickedness and put on a nice dress or a nice suit, and they come like, praise God, I'm here. Yeah, you're here, but who are you? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, church, she divorced him, and she moved from man to man, and next thing you know, she started feeling the pain. Then she went to the doctor, and she had a venereal disease. Hallelujah. And here comes the pastor. The pastor comes to visit her, smoking a cigarette. Lifting up, you're just such a blessing to us. Instead of telling her, you need to get your soul right. Amen. We're not in a day where we ought to let reasoning cover our lifestyle. Amen. But now, hallelujah, because she set up under a ministry of reasoning, her life produced a life of reasoning. That's why you ought to thank God for Brother John.
Amen.
Who's going to preach you truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because truth produces truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every seed brings forth of his own kind. And we know that the word. And now, church, she's in the hospital. And one of the brothers go see her. I believe it was Brother Neville. He goes see her and say, y'all let the prophet come pray. She says, I don't want no prophet to come see me. I ain't sent for you. You can get out of here. I'm just as holy as you are. Even in that condition, reasoning buried her from seeing who she really was.
Right.
With that sickness. Hallelujah. She's become one. Reasoning has made her one with the lie. And she can't even see her condition. And the prophet of God, the brother went back and told the prophet, and he said, we'll see her when her end comes. So she got to the point to where she began to change dimensions. Hallelujah. And you know, the prophet of God said, hallelujah, what happens in that time when you're stepping, when you're leaving this world, the soul that you grieve comes back. And the life of that soul begins to speak, hallelujah, out to you in the condition it's in. He said, that's why people, before they die, they try to make things right. Before they die, whoever they offended, or mothers and fathers, when they felt like they did their children wrong, they asked all of them to gather by their bedside, and maybe one by one, they begin to speak to them, because they're making everything right. You know what's happening? Reasoning cannot come into the presence of God. Don't you realize that? In that white throne judgment, none of us will be able to reason with God. You won't be able to go, well, Lord, but I do, Lord, but I that. He might tell you, shut up before I smack you. That's just an illustration. But you know, you won't be able to reason before God, because he's going to show you your own life.
Amen.
He's going to show you your own thoughts. He's going to show you the actions of your life. You ain't going to be able to say, Lord. This is not going to be a trial. This is going to be a judgment.
Amen.
We're living the trial now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And now she's there, and she begins to pass that dimension. I could read it to you, but I'm not going to read it. I'm going to just close. And she begins to change from this dimension of mortal, hallelujah, stepping and moving spiritually into the afterlife. And that soul, that life she grieved, came back. And when it came back in a sinful condition. And you know the prophet of God said, what you are over here is what you're going to be over there. Death does not change who you are. That's why a preacher can't preach you into heaven after you're dead. and shot 18 people and all this stuff. But I know he was a good boy. If he didn't repent and make his life right, he gonna find himself in hell's fire. Hallelujah. And that goes for everybody. Hallelujah. A ministry can't stand up at your funeral and preach you into heaven. The only thing that gets you there is the life you lived while you was alive. And the grace of God. And now she's dead and she begins to cry out, I'm lost. I'm lost. She began to see herself for what she was. Reasoning was leaving. And she realized she was a sinner. She realized the condition she was in was because of sin. She realized the life she lived was not worthy of heaven. And she begins to scream, I'm lost. And the pastor there put his cigarette out and said, give her another hypo. Give her another hypo. And now she didn't see him for a pastor anymore. She saw him for who he really was. And she said, you deceived. All her reasoning left. All before then, she loved him. You're my pastor. But when her reasoning left, she called him out to what he really was. She said, you deceiver. I don't need another hypo. I'm lost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What was happening? All her reasoning left, and that soul was there screaming, I'm lost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my church. Let's get it right while we can. As musicians come. Let's get it right on this side. Don't reason yourself out of the will of God. And the Lord preventer could be talking to you this morning. You may say, well, Lord, I'm not ready. That's reasoning. How you know you're not ready? That's your flesh talking. Hallelujah. And if you listen to that voice, you'll never be ready. Hallelujah. Because the scripture says, Paul said we die daily, amen. We wake up in the morning feeling insufficient. But it's by the grace of God we press on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's by the grace of God we made it here today. That's why Paul said, hallelujah. He said, the worst of sinners. He said, but I am what. In church, we don't get everything right, but it's that grace holding on to us. Hallelujah. And I'll be the last one to say that I got it right. I got the pattern. It's by God's grace that I'm still above water.
Hallelujah.
And that's what I'm resting on. That's what I'm relying on, that the grace of God will keep me. And having the right kind of spirit that when I reason or when I do something wrong, I repent and make it right. Hallelujah. Don't live in reasoning, but live by truth.
Amen.
Live by truth. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Father, we thank you today. If there's anyone here today, as our heads are bowed, if you want to do away with your reasoning, amen. If you want to live a life closer to God's word, amen. If you know that there's something you're supposed to be doing for the Lord, and you haven't quite fully given yourself over to it, and you want to get rid of your reasoning, all heads bow, all eyes closed. We're not looking around. It's between you and Lord, you and the Lord. If you're tired of reasoning and you want to live your truth, why don't you raise your hands to God? God bless your hands. Hallelujah. God bless each and every hand. And if you're a person that may think that your sins won't find you out, or that you're already perfect on this side, that's reasoning talking to you.
Amen.
But think about it, church. When you come into the presence of God, you see how unworthy you really are. And that's the problem. It's not enough of us coming in the presence of God.
Amen.
But God bless each and every hand that's looking to do away and cast down every form of reasoning. Live your truth, church. Because if you don't live your truth, you'll live your lie. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless every hand that's risen up to you, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Father, that your will would move on the hearts of your people. Lord God, that they'll fulfill that conviction that they lifted their hands up for, Lord. Lord, and we cast down reasoning today. Every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Every imagination that'll pull us away from your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we want to live our truth today. Lord, we want to be subjects of honor, vessels of truth. Lord God, and not of lies, and not of reasoning, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will move in the lives of your people, Lord. Lord, to make us fit for the master's use. And Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be our ever-present help in a time of trouble, Lord. For we know that the enemy is ranting and raging. But Father, you've known him before the foundation of the world. Lord, and you've made us more than conquerors. And Lord, give us the ability to think of ourselves like you think of us, Lord. And that's thoughts of peace and not of evil. And Lord God, we pray, Lord, that whatever the need is today, Lord, that you help your people, Lord. You give them the ability to ask, Lord, that they may receive. Seek that they shall find. Knock that the door shall be open. Lord God, and we pray by the spirit of conviction that your power, your anointing will cast down the thoughts of reasoning that speaks, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to live a life for the Lord. Lord, do away with that voice and help your people to enter into a full surrender. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we thank you. Continue to bless Brother John, Lord. Keep his ministry near the cross. In the name of Jesus Christ. At church, say amen. God bless you. Come on, Brother John. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Let's all stand till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever until my raptured soul shall find that rest beyond the grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you hear from God today?
Amen.
Not from Brother Diggs.
Amen.
Not from a man, but from God. Cast down all reasoning. You know, sometimes you can reason with the Word of God and you can say things that the Word of God says, but you're not saying the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of, look at all, like he said, all the denominations we have today. They all have the Word of God that they're saying, see, we're right, but there's something wrong somewhere. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? The devil said to Jesus, he used the word of God, and he used a psalm. It says, you could cast yourself off of here, and you won't be hurt. He was using the scripture. What did Jesus say? It's also written. See, the devil can take one scripture and misuse it to justify something wrong. But Jesus said, well, what about this over here? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's take all the word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, and check your spirit. Check your spirit. Because religious spirits, they don't repent.
Amen.
They're never wrong. They're always right. Everybody else is wrong but them. That's not the Holy Spirit. What do we find in the Holy Spirit? Humility. Humbleness of mind. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the message today. It was very timely, Lord, and very needed. We need to cast down all reasoning, Lord. We need to believe the word of God. We need to be like those two that when they saw the land, they didn't reason because they saw giants. They said, we're more than able to take it. God has given us the land. They weren't reasoning, Lord. They were believing the word of God. Help us, Lord, to see the word as you want us to see it. Help us to apply the word of God as you want us to apply it. Lord, we need your spirit for that. We need your eyesight. Help us, Lord, to see. Lord, bless each one today. Lord, we have a fellowship meal. Lord, we ask you to bless the fellowship meal. And may our conversation be about you, Lord Jesus. May it be about what you're doing in our lives and the good things. Help us not to focus on the wrong things, the bad things. Help us to focus on the good things, Lord, that you've done and that you're doing now. Lord, we know we're moving into that time for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Lord, help us to take our place and our position, the true adoption. Lord, help it to come to pass. We need you, O God.
Amen.
Now more than ever, we need you to come and take control of us, Lord. Bless each and every one here, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at number 597. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you believe it's joy unspeakable? It is joy unspeakable. Amen. I have found his grace is all complete.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full.